Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I think it's here. I think we can officially say it's summer, baby.
Yeah, man. We're in the June.
I declare it is something.
I do declare. No, it is almost the middle of June. And so the weather has been, outside of that one day where just the rain came through.
Oh, on, what was that? Was that Monday?
Yeah.
Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, it's just rainy and dreary for no reason. But outside of that, like, it's been a hell of a week. It's supposed to be like 90 today.
Yeah. Do you have a defining moment that tells you, oh, yeah, it's summer, baby? Like, oh, yeah, we're here. Because I think I had it last night.
I don't know. Like, I guess you
actually,
know,
I have two.
You know, it's I guess it's kind of a bittersweet thing, but when basketball officially ends and like baseball's on TV, it's like, yeah, it's summertime.
Yeah.
You know, when there's seemingly nothing left to talk about on all the, you know, sports outlets, then yeah, that's when I was like, okay, it's summer. And as far as the weather, once we get like 6 days of hot in a row, and not like warm and nice outside, I mean like, no, it's hot. Break out the air conditioner. It's time to put that up. Then it's like, yeah, here we go with summer.
My defining summer moment last night was got done with golf and went and met up with the girlfriend, and we went and got drinks, and I got my first paper plane of the summer.
Oh.
Ooh.
Buddy, I'm telling you, I could fill up a hydro flask of that stuff and
drink
take it
like
to the
lemonade,
golf.
Huh?
Oh, my God. I'd be absolutely tossed afterwards. But it is the nectar of the gods.
So I assume that's your favorite summer drink.
It's
or
my favorite
least,
drink.
Or the one that kind of, for you, equals summer.
It's my favorite year-round drink, but it is definitely gives summer vibes because it's got some like Aperol in it, some lemon. So it's definitely got more of the citrusy vibes to it, which you know, gives you summer flavors. Also, I had one of the best tequila like cocktails of my life last
night. Oh, yeah.
Tequila's okay. Where it's at.
Dude, it was...
I'm a big tequila guy now. I wasn't really at first, but...
When you're asking the bartender, how did you make that? That's how you know it was good.
Like, what was it?
I couldn't help myself. It was tequila. It was tamarind paste.
Okay.
So they took the tamarind paste, where you can get them at like the Asian grocery stores. Salt, lime... And I think maybe that was it. I would have to look up the menu.
It's very simple.
Oh, my God. So simple, but so effective. So effective. I told my girlfriend, I was like, I would fill up a second hydro flask with this.
Yeah. No, I'm so easygoing and simple. Like, I don't really know if I have, like, a summertime, it's warm, or even, like, a winter drink. I'm a whiskey guy year-round. So I don't really know, like, and I don't do a lot of, not a big cocktail guy, as mm-hmm. we've talked about before. So I guess if anything, like, there'll be times where I'm just, and we talked about this before, I don't know why and I don't know where it comes from. I've been wanting a wine cooler, which don't exist anymore.
A B&J.
Man, that would be awesome. You know what I mean? That would be awesome. And for whatever reason, they're just not. I'm sure they're out there in some form or fashion. I think the seltzer world has kind of taken over.
Can I just say, I Googled wine coolers for you, Rashad, and the first thing to come up was literally wine refrigerators. That is how far away from wine coolers we are.
Yeah, like, my God. I mean, I used to, went back in my younger days, and they still made those, when it was warm out or we were going to the park or something like that, like, everybody else would get some beer. It's like, hey, man, make sure you grab me just one of those. It comes in a case of four, so it's not like it's a whole bunch of them. Yeah, grab me a couple of those strawberry passions.
Well, I also bring this up because I feel like one of the defining summer moments for me is when the first country song on my Spotify plays.
Oh.
When I play some country.
You clean your truck?
Yeah, I wish I had a truck to clean.
Clean the mud off.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
Getting manly. Hot tea.
But I also bring this up because I segue. I was like, Rashad, like, I've been thinking recently. I was like, you know what? I think we need a new show opens. I got to do something different. I've been trying to think around, throw around some ideas in my head. And
how old is our show open now?
About a year or two.
Yeah, just 2 years almost.
Yeah, I made it about a year and a half ago, I want to say. But yeah, I was just like thinking, I was like, we need a new show open. Well, what should I do? So I have a show open made, but I want you guys to listen to it first to see if I can get your approval. But I got local country superstar Luke Morgan Brian Wallen to record this for us. And
this is going to be great.
I want to see what you guys think of this possible new country style Sports Sunday Open. You guys ready for it?
Let's hear it.
All right. Am I potted up there, Jordan?
Oh, you're hot, baby.
Okay. Let's fire this off and see if it works here.
Sunday morning comes, the coffee's on. Turn that dial to 80, the fan. Come on. From the motor to Otson, we go deep. Talking Ducks, Beavs, Blazers, no time for sleep.
Yeah.
Rashad's bringing heat like Scoop from three. Joe's got stats and a voice like sweet iced tea. One's black, one's white, don't matter none. We're just two dudes having too much fun. Black and white on the mic, but the vibe's just right. Like game day buzz on a Saturday night. Did I mention that one of them is black and the other one is pale? Oops, my bad. Now let's hear a sports tale. When the mics go live, you already know. It's time to roll with Rashad and Joe. It's Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on 1080 The Fan. It's a radio show. Blazers, Ducks, and Beavers take the floor. We break it down and read the box score. Joe is white and Rashad is black. Just making sure you knew the racial impact. Get your coffee and eggs, it's time to go. It's time for Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe.
Yeah!
That might be the best open in sports.
I don't know. Does anybody have a better sports open than that?
Oh, hold on. We got the chorus goes again. Pop this back up, Jordan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on 1080 The Fan. It's a radio show. Blazers, Ducks, and Beavers take the floor. We break it down and read the box score. Joe is white and Rashad is black. Just making sure you knew the racial impact. Get your coffee and eggs. It's time to go. It's time for Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe.
Man, I love it. I think how is that not the best intro to any show ever?
Man, I just
how is it not that? That might be the best theme song that I've ever heard.
I just finished watching Yellowstone. Like, finally, the season or the series finale, listen, and that fits right
that,
in.
Absolutely, that's the new open forever.
That's
Monday Night Football right there.
I told him, I was like, you know what? I gave him some stuff about the show. I was like, you know, it's Sunday morning show. It's, you know.
That's Morgan Wallen. You were awesome.
Luke Morgan,
Luke,
Brian
Luke,
Wallen.
Luke Morgan, man, that's a super long name that you have to say. Oh, man, hey, man, That's awesome.
Yeah, and I told him, I was like, yeah, it's Rashad is black, I'm white, you know, but try not to bring too much attention to it. And I don't think he did.
I think he completely evaded, you know, that point.
I'm going to be honest, that was completely AI made.
I love AI it.
Kind of I thought I heard some of that. That was awesome, dude. That was really, AI is fantastic.
Dude, I did probably nothing for work for about an hour and a half on Friday. Concocting this open.
That's me a country open.
Yeah, I like it.
Dude,
we should use it.
I am going to go down a rabbit hole with AI music generator now after what happened making this, because, I mean, you can make any style.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there are musicians out there that are not happy about this.
No.
Listen.
Music is over, bro. Like, that time that we knew of actual artistry is, I mean, we thought auto-tune was bad. Remember that time when everybody was bitching about, oh, man, why are you doing that to the void? There's not, man, now you've got actual country singers that can make a whole song. And how long did it take you, Joe?
Probably took me about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Hour and a half.
Yeah. Getting the lyrics tightened up.
Got a banger like that in an hour and a half, talking about, you know, friendship and, you know, racial equality and whatnot in one song. Like, I love it.
I don't know if you've seen the AI-generated country songs of it's like a husband and wife texting each other back and forth, and one's like golfing, and it's just the conversation back and forth.
It's fantastic.
Where the wife is like, when are you going to be done with golfing? And he's like, oh, we just finished with hole 12, and she's like, it seems like you've been out there for 4 hours. Why is this taking so long? But it's made to a country music beat and with someone singing it. It is fantastic. It is on point.
I got to fool around with AI. I'm still kind of scared of it. It's going to take over everything.
Dude,
it's going to be AI people talking sports here in a minute. It's not even going to be actual folks no more.
Well, we do have the...
They're making country songs now, Jordan. Like, it's coming.
Well, we do have the Isaac and Suk AI.
No, I remember that. There was like a listener, I think, and that takes a little bit more work. You've got to basically have a script ready, but you can generate, I think, if you take pre-existing clips, which there are many out there,
for sure,
of one Isaac Ropp and one Jason Sukanik, and then put them into this generator, mm-hmm, and then you type out, or just, hey, I want a script about today's Game 2 NBA Finals matchup, and then you could get a segment, but it sounds... okay. It's probably the most generic sports radio that you could find.
Have you never heard the Isaac AI?
It's pretty good. We should...
I don't know if I have.
I got it right here. Let me pull it up here.
Pull it up.
I'm all country
pull it out.
Now. All right.
Pull it
all right,
my truck.
Welcome back to Primetime. We got a lot to talk about, but I first want to start with college football and why I think my former school is going to win. The Kansas Jayhawks have been struggling in football for a while now, but there is
so
hope.
Weird.
That they can turn things around and compete for the championship next year. To do so, the team needs to focus on a few key areas. First, they need to improve their offensive production. Last year, the team ranked near the bottom
this
of
is
the
AI.
Big 12.
Sounds like my hunt for
no
the host.
No emotion. Hello, Joe.
No emotion.
Hello, Rashad.
Yeah, this sounds like my hunt for the host audition. That's what it sounds like.
I know.
Just hella nervous.
I know it's AI. Is have you ever heard Isaac ever go that deep sports wise, breaking down?
No.
Like,
no.
Especially Kansas football.
He's about to break down X's and O's. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Nah.
Really, they need to work on their zone coverage in the secondary. I feel like it can be a little bit better. Their linebacker, they just commit too much to the run.
All of their corners have bad hips. Like, what? What are you talking about?
Woo! All right. Well, maybe I'll workshop some different types of opens.
Yeah, I like that one. That one's got to go in
there. What should be the next style, next music style?
Alternative?
Like a Nirvana-esque?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
Should I go like a heavy, like a 80s Def Leppard-esque?
Oh, yeah, like strip club song?
I would like
some sugar on me.
I would like to hear like some...
Sports Sunday with Rashad!
There we go.
And Joey's well!
Some 70s soul, you know, would be kind of cool. You know? Like that.
I was thinking
cool.
Like something like Rapper's Delight. I said it's Sports Sunday. I'm 1080 the fan. Rashad and Joe, they're the man.
Yeah, that could work. That could work.
Don't do that.
That could work. You should just do it. Actually, did you mark that? Could you get that?
I think I might have to go get that.
Yeah, you can get that. Yeah.
That could be added to the board along with this.
We'll see how far the show will take us. On Sports Sunday.
That needs to be played at the end of every show.
Joe singing the various theme songs of yesteryear. Yes. I'm down. I'm here for it.
All right. Well, let's see where this show's going to take us. We got a few things. We are in the thick of NBA finals now after game one, game two later today. We have a quarterback signing in the NFL, and I ask just why? Why? We got a big baseball game later today. Rashad baseball.
Say what?
Baseball Rashad.
Oh, okay.
We need to come up with a nickname. Because we got like Blue Line Brandon. We got NBA Dirt. We need to come up with something for Rashad, Baseball Rashad, or I don't know, Dinger Rashad.
Yeah, what's it?
Rashad Dong.
Aluminum Bat Rashad. How about that?
Ping Rashad. Yeah,
ping.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll figure it out. It's going to be something cool.
I like Rashad Dong. There's something to that.
I don't know if I like that one, but we'll figure it out.
Where's my Big Al drop? There we go. There he is.
Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
I hit dingers.
You hit dingers.
I wish this. That's I right. wish that kid was like hitting dingers in Major League Baseball now.
Yeah, where is he now?
I don't know. We'll have to.
He
look
might
up.
Be in the majors. Who knows?
We'll see where Alfred D'Elia is. I just love how raspy his voice is as like a 10-year-old.
He's a 10-year-old like, smoker.
Yeah,
pack a day.
Ripping camels.
They've all been.
Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I have dingers.
My name's Big Al.
Yeah. Are you Big Lou? No,
I'm ripping Big darts Al. And ripping dingers.
Ripping darts.
He's probably a Zen man. What else? We got Beavers baseball. I did this on Tuesday with Danny, but I want to bring this to the attention of the Sports Sunday fan. The most negative NBA fan bases.
Oh, easy. Done. Let's go.
The most vulgar fan bases.
That's
pretty
easy,
and New York.
The most polite fan bases.
Probably us.
I was going to say, yeah. Hey, we root for our team no matter what.
You can wear the other team's jersey.
Unless you're a criminal. We're weird here.
We will get to all of that and more Sports Sunday. But first, let's start with the NBA Finals right here on 1080 The Fan. I don't know if I'm going to get her out of the house to do this, but I want to go check out the boats today. They got the fleet on
fleet
the waterfront.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a big old sailboat down there.
I've been seeing them as I was taking my son to school most days. I was like, oh, man, those things are ginormous.
That's a big old boat.
I can see the STD.
Damn, that's
here.
A big boat.
Enormous. You know what I mean? So I haven't been down to Rose Festival at all. I've got to do that. I probably end up doing that.
I used to take Joey when he was like younger, like a toddler, but you
they're
know,
older now. They don't care. They're so cool, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just different.
I'm sure the naval fleet in town had a lot of fun last night downtown.
Oh, for sure.
Portland, Saturday night.
They usually do.
Yeah, they usually do.
Did they hit up CC Slaughter's before it closed?
Hey,
Thaler!
I'm sure they hit that
I'm sure
up.
A couple
yeah.
of them did, yeah.
Right across
one
from Dixie
two.
And Barrel Room. That whole area, man, was hopping, I'm sure.
Yeah, Portland Institution, CC Slaughter's is closing. I can't believe it.
I did see that. That's, God. That's,
not sure.
Yo, you're sick to my stomach,
man. I can't remember if it's the longest running gay nightclub on the West Coast or the Pacific Northwest, but yeah, historic nightclub closing.
Well, let's go to our gay correspondent. Tell us the news, Charlie.
No, we have a Charlie?
I was like, who's gonna do this here? Because it ain't me.
It's like, I've
just
never met
silence
Charlie.
For five. Yeah.
You know, that's usually how it is when you go to somebody on the site. There's usually this long pause and.
Well,
hey guys, yo, we're here. Yeah, okay.
It is. It's like that 5 second
it is
delay.
Super sad that we're losing CC Slaughter's.
Yeah,
we need a gay correspondent.
No, we actually do.
I think that'd be fantastic, especially during this month, just for the month of June. That's
oh
it.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Just on contract for a month, and then
just,
that's it.
Just like every other business out there, show that we care about gay people for the month, and then as soon as it's July 1st, and we're done.
They move
Moving
on.
On.
Yeah.
Change the Twitter logo.
There are a lot of causes to care about, though, for people. Like, there's something new every month.
Yeah, you got to check all the boxes now, right?
Change the Twitter AVI, quick! It's July 1st. We don't have to care anymore. What we do care about, though, is the NBA Finals. Those damn Pacers, they did it again, Rashad. Can you believe it?
I can.
I was gonna say, well, actually, I mean, at
you know,
this point,
it's one of those things you kind of do. I almost kind of expected it. That sounds weird, but I kind of expected them to do something like that.
Man, they just let him hang around. Like they kept him at arm's length the entire game, but you were just waiting for that like 8-0 run that went to timeout. And the Thunder up by 14 or 15 to then balloon up to a 20, 22, 23-point lead. And that part never came. You had the moments where it's like, okay, Pacers have cut this to 6 or 7. Okay. Now the Thunder have it back up to 15. Oh, the Thunder have it back up to 14 or 16, whatever. And that is about as high as they got it. And they just did not have the run, the close factor that they needed. Like, there was many times where I'm like, okay, if they hit a couple three, oh, they missed that one. Like, I think I heard someone say that it was the second worst shooting performance of the season for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You got the box score up. Do you want to tell me the field goal percentage, 3-point percentage for the Thunder?
Yes, the Thunder as a team shot, let's see, 3-point percentage. Oh, they didn't shoot terribly.
What was the field goal percentage?
Oh, their field goal percentage overall was 39.8%.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
From 3-point, they shot 36%, which is not great, but that's, you know, that's pretty, yeah, that's okay. You
need that to be in the,
you want it to be in the 40s, you know, yeah, you want it to be closer to there. But if you told me somebody was a 36% 3-point shooter, you'd be like, okay, yeah, like that's not great, but you know, that's whatever. It's acceptable ish, but not this game.
39% though, just from the field in general, that's
not great.
No,
it's not great. You know, and the thing about it is, the Pacers played terribly in this game. For 47 and a half minutes, the Pacers were not good in this game. They had,
oh my God, I mean, Obi Toppin in that first quarter played terrible minutes. They had 19 turnovers in the first half.
How many teams can have 24 turnovers and win a game?
I mean,
19 first half turnovers, 17 in the first quarter, and lose a game.
Yeah.
And win a game, excuse me. That's insane to me. Like, this team, number one, there was a lot of missed shots. Shea missed a lot of shots, and you know, towards the beginning of the game, but after that, like, he kind of found his groove and it was easy from there. But the one thing the Pacers do is they force you into a lot of bad shots.
Well, and
they can do a good job of that. So missing shots on your own definitely doesn't help. And that's the one thing, like, Jalen Williams missed a bunch of shots, you know, open on his own. You know, Chet obviously didn't have a great game, 2-for-9 from the field. Jalen Williams, 6-for-19, finished with 17, but wasn't a great shooting night, you know, and they're already going to miss some shots. But I think the one thing is, we talk about the activity of the Thunder's defense all the time. Indiana plays similar defense to that. They're always throwing different guys at you. They all got long arms. They're all making sure they get inside passing lanes. I think if they weren't so nervous in that, and even still, with all the turnovers in the first quarter, the score was 29-20. First quarter. That's how the first quarter ended. With all the turnovers and everything, Indiana was still right there.
The first half, I think they were only down 10.
No, the first half going into half, they were only down 10. 19 turnovers and still only down 10. Against a team like OKC, you're down 25.
Excuse me, down 12.
Down 12, excuse me.
But still,
against OKC, with all those turnovers, you're down 30, you know, at that point. And so they stuck around. They continue to fight. They continue to play defense. And Tyrese Halliburton is great when he needs to be. And I think that's the thing I love most about him. We have a lot of superstars in this league, quote unquote, that are great for 3.5 quarters. And then when it gets to the end of the fourth quarter and there's 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left, there's a lot of shots, but not a lot of them go in, i.e. a playoff P, right? You know, Anthony Edwards, you know, some of these other guys that are great for three quarters for the most part, but when you need them in the crunch to do something great, not to say that they won't do it, but they can't do it as consistently. Tyrese Halliburton at the end of games is a killer. Absolute killer. He's Reggie Miller. He's Dwayne Wade. He's at the end of the game, you give him the ball, the chances that he's primetime Gilbert Arenas. You give him the ball at the end of the game, more than likely he's going to finish it for you.
Let me read this fourth quarter for you, field goal percentages, shots made for each team. In the fourth quarter, Indiana Pacers 12 of 24 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3. The Oklahoma City Thunder 7 of 19 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. So one team just turned it on late. One team completely fell apart. And I texted Danny this in the fourth quarter. And he told me that, apparently he said this the other day. But I was just like, is it just me? Or does the half-court offense for Oklahoma City at the end of the game, is it just absolutely putrid? It was a lot of Shea bring the ball up, and everybody kind of all just stand around and no movement and just let him go to work.
Bad news for you. That's been most of the offense for most of the year.
Yeah, and that's
you know, I think the finals is one of those times that OKC is, for as great as they are, how many of us can say that we watched a bunch of OKC games?
Here and there, but
I mean, yeah, they were on TV a lot, right? But that was one of, they're kind of like the Spurs, you know, the like, we know they're a good team, but, and they're fun to watch too, but just like, I don't really care as much sometimes. I don't know what it is for whatever
reason.
When you're
dominating teams every night.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it loses some luster, which sounds insane, but that's what happens with good teams. A lot of times people just don't feel like, unless you got a Steph, you know, a LeBron or something like that. And I think Shea is slowly creeping into that area, but this is the first time all of us are seeing really how the Thunder play. And it's very Shea Gilgeous-Alexander centric. He has the ball
took
a lot.
Like 30 shots.
That's the offense.
Just down the end of the game when they were bringing the ball up and then they would get into the half court. It was just a lot of, all right, give SGA the ball and let him go to work and see if he can, you know, generate something for us. And it didn't. Like all the other, and this is the thing about the Pacers too, and I know we got a break, is that they are just conditioned to play a full 48. And it seemed like Oklahoma City was conditioned to play 45 in this game. Like, it was the last few minutes where, again, it was just like, they look tired, and all of them.
And let's be honest, outside of Shea, the Pacers match up really well with this OKC squad. Like, outside of, you know, Shea and his ability to do pretty much everything, and I guess Tyrese is kind of a poor man's, you know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander as far as what he's able to do. But outside of that, man, everybody on this team matches up really well with what OKC is able to do. And so I've been saying that from the beginning, like the Pacers are almost like a poor man's OKC. So it doesn't shock me that they were able to do this again. Now they've already stolen home court, you know, from OKC. Now they just have to hold court at home at this point. If they can get one of two of those two at home, this is a series and they got as good a shot as anybody else to win a championship.
Let's take a break and come back to this, 'cause I want to know if game one has changed your thoughts on how the rest of the series is going to play out. We get to that next year. NBA Finals talk continues on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, Jordan Schultz with the Sports Center update.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I got to bring something to light. I think you are the only person I have ever seen willingly buy and bring in Dasani water. I
Listen, man, you people forgot where you come from. Like, and that's for me. And number one, this
hose water.
I all day when you couldn't or didn't want to go back inside.
Y'all sissies ever drink water from the hose?
I don't know about y'all, but when we were young and we were outside, if you come in and out of the house at some point, your parent to tell you, and I quote, sit your ass down, you're not going. Okay, so that for me meant not going back outside. I would absolutely rather drink water from the hose than go in the house and get some Kool-Aid or some soda or water and have to stay inside. I'll absolutely drink that. Dasani is delightful to me. Like, only water I won't drink, is Arrowhead. Gross. But outside of that, like, I don't... It's water, man. I don't care.
I'm an Aquafina man myself.
Yeah, well, it's water. I don't see anybody that turns their nose up about water
matters.
Outside of Arrowhead is insane.
I think Dasani is...
Just be thirsty then. If I got... All I have is Dasani over there, and you're like, oh, man, I'm so parched. You got cotton mouth. Oh, Dasani. Oh, can't do it. Okay, don't do it.
I think what I need to do, and I think I'm going to start doing this more often, is that... And I retweeted this the other day, is I had a pasta power rankings. What are the top five pasta noodles out there? I mean, this is a list that has been going since 2017 that has been rotating. I think I need to come up with a top five water drinking moments. Like, what is the best, like, moment? What is the best time that water tastes the best? Like
non-survival situation?
Yes, like drinking water out of the hose. I mean, that might be a top five all time.
I think that's
water drinking moment.
I think that's a two. It's hot outside. It's summer. Outside. You playing football on the street or riding bikes or doing whatever. The water is always cold. It's hot at first, but after like 10 seconds, you're not going to find any colder water anywhere else than the hose.
I would say that middle of the night through the faucet, the sink. Just putting your mouth right near the sink, Absolutely. The faucet.
Yeah, for sure.
Just going to town.
That's probably a two or three.
Yeah.
That's probably a two or three.
I'm going to have to workshop this. Maybe
right after sexy time, man. If you're really working out like that, Dasani is going to be great, Joe.
You're going to love it. That's a good point.
Ooh, coming out of the ocean, like if you're hanging out at the beach and you swim a little bit, that you got all that salt water all over you, fresh water, like that is... That's refreshing.
That's a good one. But we're talking about drinking, or are we talking about just actual water moments?
Just best water drinking moments. Like, a bottle, like a glass of water on the nightstand that's been sitting there, and it's basically like room temperature. But again, you wake up at like 3 a.m. and just absolutely crush that thing. Like,
hey man, listen.
That's one of those, like, that is a much-needed water right
that
there.
I've had too much to drink. And that bottle of water or that glass of water that you get from the homie or just go get for yourself, like, that can be really clutch. That can turn your night around. Like, for a lot of people that have had way too much.
that is a top five water right there. No, that might be a top three right there.
Like, I mean, seriously, like, whenever you've had...
You don't appreciate it in the moment.
Not at all. But then after you've had a little bit, maybe another one, you're like, all right. I'm back in the party. I'm at least okay. I don't feel like that anymore. You know, so I think that's one of those underrated jewels right there is that, you know, I've been drinking too much water.
You can text in 503-864-6326. Best water drinking moments. What is that? I would say that first water break during a hot summer football practice.
Oh, you remember the water cow?
Oh, the water cow? Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Water cow might be... That might be in the top five as well.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. God, you could get 10 kids up there, like, all just lined up, sucking water like it's out of an udder. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was fun.
That was a good time.
And it was ice cold, Rashad. You're right. Coming out of that whole hose on like a 95 degree day. Yes, uh-huh. Please.
Get a little on your head and everything.
Sprayed
like
in
that.
The helmet so that way
you get in the pads. Just soak yourself. Boy. Like, get back on the damn field.
Yeah, I would either say first water break. During football practice at the water cow specifically.
Yes, the water cow has to be involved.
Yeah. Man, now I'm nostalgic. Yeah.
Are we allowed to call it the water cow? Is that an offensive term now?
Water fancy to cows?
To cows. It's like, oh, hey, you can't offend the cow. No, it's you think I'm a cow. Like, you know, I didn't really think of anything.
The water bovine.
There you go. The water bovine might be a little bit better.
On the text line, hose water is why Gen X and older millennials don't complain as much as Gen Z.
Seriously. I could imagine.
That might be right.
Those sissy Gen Zers.
I can imagine telling our sons to go drink out of the hose. He'd be like, ew.
Why?
Icky. Like, what are you talking
icky.
About?
I haven't heard
get
that
out
word
there
in
and
a
go
while.
Drink that, man.
Give me the Brita.
Yeah. No, you don't have anything outside of tap.
I will say though, big vitamin water guy. The vitamin, not the like flavored vitamin
okay,
water. Oh, I'm talking about just the vitamin.
That was awful, but
the is it just called vitamin water? The actual water, or is it called something else?
Like probably like H2 vitamin water H2O.
See,
I
feel weird paying for water, which is probably
oh,
why,
I do too.
Which is probably why I buy the Dasani. Because it's weird to pay crazy prices for water.
You know
Deja
who owns
Blue?
Dasani, right?
What's up with it? You know what I mean?
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Yeah, Coca, it's like you're like, that's why I buy the Dasani. So you're just going to give your money to the corporation regardless.
I mean, there's another company called
Coca-Cola.
There's
Biden
a water,
water
called
also.
Deja Blue.
Damn it.
I drink that too. It's hella cheap. It's like $1.12.
H2 Blue?
Deja Blue.
Deja Blue?
Yeah, I drink that too. Like, not tripping.
Smart water. It's just smart water.
I love smart water.
Yeah, smart water. That's what I meant to say.
No,
yeah.
That's, it is either Aquafina or
you smart
water.
You know what it tastes
that's
like
my
to me?
Hierarchy.
Water.
It's that reverse osmosis, baby.
No, it's
just like the water I got out of the...
If you line up Dasani next to Aquafina, you can taste the difference. You really can.
Do we do a water taste test on...
a bottled water taste test?
On the show?
If they sponsor it,
yes, sure the
Joe.
Listeners
set
it
up,
it.
Mr. Sales Guy.
But we need to make sure that we have water to wash down the flavors, so that way we can...
Yeah, wash
palate
down
cleanser.
Yeah,
some
exactly.
tap water to cleanse the palate.
Yeah, get it back to normal.
Yeah, exactly. All right, sorry. Does game one... The result of it, the outcome, does it change how you feel like this series is going to play out? Maybe not just play out, but at least the outcome. Like, I've had Thunder since the beginning of the playoffs. I'm still going to roll with the Thunder. Whether it's in six or seven, I don't know. Going into this series, I was thinking Thunder in six. Still very much a possibility, but... Kind of like last series, man, between the Pacers and Knicks, like you see a game like this, that kind of F's with the psyche of the team that lost. Like, dude, we had that game. We should have won that game. We should be up 1-0. And I don't know if it was Charles or Kenny or something like that, but it's like now this series where it's, you know, best to four, it's like for the team that's lost, it's like now we got to win five games. Because you essentially had this game in the bag. You had it won, and you blew it late. So it's like, great, now we got to go. We actually have to
do this four more times.
Yeah, we got to do this four more times and actually close those games out. And I was like, damn, that's great point. Like you
it definitely wasn't Charles that said that then.
It might have been.
Kenny. It was probably Kenny.
Dude, Kenny had a great line a week or so ago about Tom Thibodeau where he was like, Tom Thibodeau wouldn't play nine players in a baseball game. And I was like,
I know we talked about Thibodeau last week on the show, or at least, and I said, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he were fired.
Yeah. How about we do that next? But I do want to get your thoughts on this series because
absolutely, man. So, man, I don't know. I'm looking at a Pacers team they've been primed for this. I mean, let's be honest. They've been first round. You eliminate Giannis, a healthy Giannis. Take that. You're done. You know, you're done with them in the first round. Second round, you eliminate the team that's been running roughshod through the entire NBA. The only other team not named OKC, you handled them in five games. No problem. Get out of here. Then you go against the team in New York that was just, there's no way you're going to beat big body Brunson and no way you're going to beat Cat. That's not going to happen against this tough, rugged New York team. And they beat them 4-2 and really did it in kind of embarrassing fashion, if we're being honest. That was probably the most embarrassing series of any of them. Now, the Knicks have essentially blown up their team based on what's going on there. Talk about trading Cat, all type of stuff. The Pacers did that. And now the Pacers are playing the number one team in the league. They're ready for this because they were supposed to lose every series. They weren't supposed to beat the Bucks. They weren't supposed to beat the Cavs. They weren't supposed to beat the Knicks. What do you know? They beat them all. They've lost. They've lost four games. The entire playoff run. Four. Entire time.
And I believe they're now up to seven road wins.
Are you serious right now? They are 11-4 in the playoff. Excuse me. 13-4 because they only need three more games to win.
Yes. 13-4.
So they're 13-4 at this point. Listen. I got faith in the Pacers. I think they can do this. And mind you, they played terribly in the first half. And up until that third, the end of the third into the fourth quarter, this game was over for them. And they still fought back and did exactly what they've been doing. There's four game winners for Tyrese Halliburton. I'm sticking with the Pacers. I'm not shifting now.
Rolling with the Pacers.
I have to. They've shown me too much. Like you've shown me you can win in every scenario, every situation against every type of team. Why wouldn't I believe you can win now?
I mean, I'd rather roll with Rick Carlisle than Mark Dagenault at this point. And that's not really an insult on the Oklahoma City Thunder head coach. It's literally what we saw. Two decisions, I think. That decision to put Nembhard on the ball instead of Tyrese Haliburton in the fourth quarter to allow Tyrese to shoot off the ball obviously gave the offense a different look. And then at the end of the game, 8 seconds left when Shea missed that shot to go take it back down to the other end. No timeout called because Rick could see that the defense was not set. The team was off balance. Oh, look what happened. And that's a huge Monday morning quarterback kind of a call for him to make. And yes, it went well, so he's a genius. But that was because the genius comes from what he identified in the situation, and he had the balls to sit on his timeout and say, I'm going to let my players handle this.
I'm going to co-sign that too, Jordan, because remember this. Who engineered the last huge upset in the NBA Finals?
I mean, I know where you're going with this.
I think we've all heard
Dallas
this, right?
Dallas Mavericks. I mean, you could say the last one was the Raptors.
The last one was probably, but
the Warriors fell apart.
KD was hurt, and Clay was hurt and Steph just couldn't do it on his own. So that was one of those things. But you talk about a fully healthy squad and Dirk could do that to that Heat team in six games. Why wouldn't I believe that Rick Carlisle, with these dogs that he has on this team, couldn't do something similar against this OKC squad, who all of us have already crowned as the champion, as the best team in the league? Would not shock me if the Pacers did it. I hope they do.
Well, they're big favorites coming into the NBA Finals, the Thunder. We do have Game 2 later today. That starts at 5 o'clock on ABC. It'll be a good reason to stay out of the heat because it's going to be a hot one today, Wally.
Yeah, I was thinking about going to the river today. Probably not, though.
Which river?
Usually Sandy. I just want something chill, something slow.
I was going to say, if you were about to say Willamette, I mean.
What? Why?
Well, that's why I was asking. I wanted to make sure.
I don't think anybody just goes to the Willamette River here and is like, hey, you
get a little soak.
I might go to like
a little splash.
I might go to like Cathedral Park or something like that, but I'm not just.
There's a good spot out in Troutdale. Past that little exit 17 there, if you go down like where actual like the city of Troutdale, like where you
Sandy River,
yeah, that's is that right there? Yeah, Dabney, right around there, all that stuff. Yeah,
really nice.
So the team that the Pacers eliminated last round, the New York Knicks, Rashad Taylor, he had sources. I don't know who he was talking to last Sunday.
Shams, man.
Multiple sources tell me that Tom Thibodeau is going to get fired, and sure enough, he did. We get to that next year, Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan.
Part of me just wants to go crash on the couch and just wait.
It's not
until
a bad idea.
But I also don't want to be. I can imagine some poor cleaning person coming by and seeing this black dude just laying on the couch. And I assume the police would be here in 0.25. You know, so yeah, I usually just go ahead and go home.
Pretty sure that's where Klondike Will Ortner had to crash when he was here during a snowstorm. A year or two ago. I can't remember which one that was, but yeah, that couch right there was his crashing pad.
Yeah, man. It's a nice, I mean, for Will, I'm sure it's a little small. You know, Will's a tall
guy. It's a long couch.
Yeah, it is, but it's, you know, what, six feet, something like that?
He's 6'5".
Yeah, that's not big enough for Big Willie.
So the New York Knicks, they got eliminated last round by the Indiana Pacers, and I believe it was last Sunday. The wounds were still fresh on the Knicks after a tough series loss to the Pacers. And Rashad made the statement. I almost wish we could pull the audio. I don't remember what segment it is. But Rashad said, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Thibodeau gets fired. And I'm like, no, come on. I was like, they improved year over year. They went from the second round to the conference finals. They're basically a game one choke job away from possibly making that series better than it was and winning that series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we can get to that as well, that, you know, if the Knicks win the series and go to the finals but lose the finals, are they firing Tom Thibodeau? So, no. I mean, they literally based this whole job off of this one series. But sure enough, they fired Tom Thibodeau. Rashad Sauces were right. Unbelievable.
I don't know, man. It was just... I don't know. Something spoke to me, you know, like sometimes you just, I can't explain
Rashad.
It. It's like,
what?
It's like a gift.
Tom Thibodeau will be fired.
Honestly, it's just it's looking at trends. And you have to look at the trend of Tom Thibodeau. He's only good places for 3 to 5 years.
Well, I saw someone else put in a good way, it's that he's a floor raiser, but not a ceiling raiser.
I think that's a good he gets a
bars.
Lot, he gets things out of players that they didn't know that they could do. Right? You don't believe me? Go look at that Bulls team that he had initially. You didn't think remember, we called them the baby Bulls. Like, right? We didn't know exactly what they were and everything. And he had them fighting. He got an MVP out of there. You got a bunch of tough, gritty guys that didn't mind working. But when it stops working is when you have superstars that are like, man, you're doing too much. This is crazy. Like, why are we doing this? Like, why? This is almost like that Heat culture that people love if you're Udonis Haslem. But after a while, it's like, man, I can't do this every day. Like, we can't play like this all the time. Like, it's crazy. So what happened after the Bulls? He got fired. He goes to Minnesota. They get Jimmy Butler that 1 year, and they shoot to, like, the top of the West. Jimmy Butler gets hurt. They kind of have a little dip after that. But then they have that whole thing. But after 3 years, they got tired of him in Minnesota. And what happened? Now you sign with the Knicks, right? You have 5 years with the Knicks, a slow build and everything. It's been good. But your teammates or your team is saying, like, man, this is rough. We're doing too much. We're running all the time. We're doing all these old school NBA things. And, man, we're not doing that anymore. I'm not doing that. Terrible, terrible rotations during the conference finals. Having Kat sitting on the bench for most of the second half in that game too, and then didn't bring him back until there was like 2 minutes left in the game. By that time, you're already kind of cooked. You know, by then, only running about six guys out there on your roster in the conference finals against a team that goes, you know, 8 or 9 deep a lot of the time. Just terrible coaching, almost rookie coaching decisions that you were making. Tibbs has a very old school NBA mentality. And as an old school NBA guy, I think it's cool, right? I think it's great, but I don't think he's good enough to be able to get you or get a team to the conference or to the NBA finals just based on the way that he coaches and based on the way that they want to play. Like, that's not built for everything. There's no real plays there. Whether it's Derrick Rose or Jimmy Butler or Jalen Brunson, it's dribble, dribble, dribble. Go this way, dribble, dribble, dribble. Hopefully somebody's open. If not, pull up. Or if not, Derrick Rose, do what you do. There's no real game plan for Tibbs ever. So that's why I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if he was fired, especially considering it's been 5 years. You lost the same team twice, and this time in the conference finals in embarrassing fashion. Wouldn't be the Knicks. No, they're going to let him go.
I just felt like it was short-sighted for the Knicks. Like, your success over the last 25 years, what success? I mean, how many coaches? I believe it was also stats. And stats, you can make them work for you. You can make them work against you. But he had won 4 playoff series with them. The previous 13 coaches for the Knicks, only 1 playoff series win. Jeff Rust on Tuesday when I was filling in on Danny's show, he had a good stat, though, that brought up that Tom Thibodeau is like one of the worst coaches against the spread in games 4 through 7 in the playoffs. So it's just like, I was like, that's kind of a Doc Rivers thing. But granted, Doc Rivers keeps getting jobs somehow. So.
You know, his team is going to be cooked by then. And the one thing I will give Doc credit for is at some point he can draw up a play for me. Okay, cool. Like, at some point, Doc Rivers can draw me up a play at halftime, or excuse me, coming out of a timeout or something like that. That's the one thing we've never really seen Tibbs do. Like, here's a great way to get back into this game. This is what we're going to do. This is our game plan. It's the same thing every single time, everywhere he goes, and it's the same effect on all of his players. So I wasn't surprised. I was like, man, this is going to get him fired. You can't lose to this team. Not like that. Not for the second year in a row. Like, that hurts.
Someone on the text line, why have we gotten to the point where we analyze every coaching change for at least a week after it happens? This is a fairly new phenomenon. I mean, this is the first time we were able to talk about it on this show, to be fair. I mean,
yeah, this is a weekly.
You know, this happened on Tuesday.
This is like a magazine.
Yeah,
y'all.
This is a weekly show, so we only get, you know, once a week to talk about things. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting because, again, Rashad, you were the first one, honestly, that called it as far as not being – I wouldn't be surprised if Thibodeau got fired. I didn't think it was going to happen. It did. It goes to show that New York, though, is also
super impatient.
Yeah, impatient, but also like we believe we have a championship winning team. We believe we can get there, and we think that a coaching change is going to be able to do it. I think it's a little bit more of roster construction. I actually thought it was a little bit of a, you know, hey, Tom Thibodeau is actually maybe growing here as a coach, being able to play his eighth, ninth, tenth guys on the bench. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, maybe they just need to make that eighth, ninth, tenth guy a little bit better, have someone that can be more of a playmaker type on the offensive end, because, I mean, Brunson, while he is a great scorer, his playmaking, setting up teammates ability, it's not elite. It's not like Tyrese Halliburton. You're not going to have Mikal Bridges do that. You're not going to have OG do that. Karl Anthony Towns needs to be set up to do that. So I just feel like there needed to be maybe a six man, someone coming off the bench. I mean, Josh Hart would bring the ball up sometimes, but again, as far as like him initiating the offense or setting his teammates up, I don't think that's the guy that you want doing that regularly. So I think there was just things that they needed to do roster wise to make this team deeper, make it able to generate offense for each other rather than just themselves, because I feel like it was a lot of iso ball as well.
See, I think that could very well be a big part of it, but the thing about it is we don't know, because Tibbs didn't put him out there. We don't know what he might have on his bench, or, you know, because he only decided, like, those seven guys that played are the only ones he wants to play, and those are the ones that have played for most of the season. So why didn't we see more of Precious Achiuwa? Like, I mean, there's certain people that are like, man, they could probably be a big factor for your squad. But, you know, you had Landry Shamet on your team. I was like, man, he can get a bucket for you.
As soon as he came in, one, I was like, wait, Landry Shamet's on the team? I was like, hey, Landry Shamet's actually not playing too bad. He's helping out.
You play for the Knicks. We didn't know Landry Shamet was on your bench. Like, why wouldn't you use him more as a good backup option, the way TJ McConnell comes in as a great backup option for somebody like Tyrese Halliburton? So that's what I look at when you're Tibbs. Like, you have this roster, this rotation of people, and you don't like to break that regardless of how your lineup is breaking down. The Knicks weren't bad. They were just tired by the time they got to the conference finals.
All right, let's take a break. We got hour number two coming up. We have a new starting quarterback in the NFL. We'll get to that. Also, a huge injury in college football. I also want to look at maybe the college football FPI rankings. The first one of the year came out, which project what teams are going to be in the playoffs, who is going to win the national championship, what the win total for each team looks like. So we can look at that for the Ducks, the Beavs, the Cougs, Washington, USC, whoever we want to take a look at. Your UNLV Rebels, Rashad.
Oh, let's go.
Run, Reb,
we're
run.
We're going for number one this year, guys.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
We were almost in the playoffs. We were this close to the playoff.
I forget, what was the finishing record? 11-1 or 10-2, maybe?
Yeah, 10-2.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
And we lost to BYU in the conference championship. We win that game and we're in.
And didn't the head coach leave? I believe the UNLV head coach, he went somewhere else.
Yeah, he's got a good job somewhere.
How about we break down UNLV preseason for the whole first half hour of the next hour?
I'm down if you are. Like, we can definitely do that.
No, I want people to stay around and listen. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You got to be really pretentious to name your kid after yourself.
I mean, if we go,
I mean, what kind of douchebag would name their son after himself?
Well, especially doing it three times.
Yeah, what the hell, Joe? Just keeping that one going. You generation real original guys, real douches and guys full of yourselves. No, actually, to offset the whole, like, if we have two boys, because the first child's always like, oh, like everybody likes the first one, so the middle one or the second one always feels bad. I won't give you our first kid's name that we plan on because my wife will kill me, but the second one, that's actually not a bad idea. Jordan Schultz Jr. for the second kid.
JJ?
Yeah, JS Jr. Yeah. JJ.
JSJ.
Yeah. JSJ, man.
I wanted to bring something up because you mentioned it, like, oh, yeah, the second kid like kind of gets the short end of the stick.
They kind of do.
So my kid's mother, fantastic mother, can't, like, just so happy that I had my first child with her. She is an awesome mother. Like, for Joey's first few birthdays and stuff, she would make his birthday cakes. She would do the fondant, like the elastic kind of like cake flavor.
Looks really smooth.
To make the cakes and the what was on it. Like, she did a Mandalorian one for his first birthday, did one. Like, she always went all out. And then, so then Joey, my son, he has a half brother, and it was his 6th or 7th birthday or something like that yesterday. And she calls me yesterday. She's like, hey, this is happening. Can you bring Joey to the house? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. She's like, also, I didn't get Arlo a birthday cake. Can you please just get one for me? And I'm like, man, the second kid really gets the short end of this.
Yikes. Absolutely. I want to go all out for the first kid. The second kid, man, screw that kid. What kid?
She's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, just Venmo me. I got you. It was one of those moments where I'm like, man, that is a true stereotype right here. The second kid is not getting any love.
I also want to commend you for being such a good co-parent, because there are a lot of people that have been like,
buy your own damn cake.
That's your problem.
Screw
bro.
The other spawn.
That ain't my kid. Yeah, what you mean?
Well, the way that I look at it is that, at least when it comes to his half brother, like that is my son's brother, and so like while my son, he's sometimes like, God, he is so annoying. I'm like, bro, I get you, but that is your brother. Like, you need to, like, he loves you. You gotta love him. Like, I don't care about that kid, but also I do know that he is your blood brother still. So you need to show, like, and he looks up to you. You need to have that role model title, and, you know, just, again, show him love. Like, that's how I look at it, is that, you know, I don't care. Your relatives, your brothers, figure it out. Please, for the sake of your mom's psyche and mental health, do not make any things any harder than it needs to be. And then I heard someone say at one point that co-parenting is like running a small business, and that if you have too much pride or have too much like personal feelings on things where you want to make decisions based off of how you feel and what you think is right and what benefits you more so, then the business is not going to work as well as it should be. So the bottom line is, do you want the business to succeed? Do you want it to go well without a hitch? Like, do you just want everything to be about the business and the success of it? And when you can put the pride aside and, yeah, the whole, like, I'm not picking him up. I had him all last week and you haven't done anything. And where's my time? Like, the more flexibility you have, man, and the more just like, I don't care.
Time,
like,
I don't know what time is for kids. Like, I'm really busy this weekend. Like, what? Like, I got plans to, I can, you have to be, what? No. Like, this, if we have kids, we have kids. Like, and if I need to have said kid for X amount of time or day, then that's just what it is. If you have to have them for X amount, there is no, well, I can't. And I'm like, huh? Like, I've never understood parents like that. So if you're not that parent, if you are, you know, active with, especially with your co-parent, because I know how hard that is. We have whole commercials that run on the station about, man, if you're a divorced dad, you're looking for to get divorced, like, call us. Like, so we know that there are a lot of co-parents out there. So dads, keep doing your thing.
And let me say, as a kid of a broken home of many divorces, it matters. The way that the parents interact with each other, like, I won't go too deep, but it matters. Be nice to each other because it'll affect the kid in literally 30 years. And you, you need to stop thinking of you and think of the kid.
Yeah, I would say that our relationship is definitely the exception, not the rule. But, and then, you know, initially there was, you know, when things didn't work out the first, you know, few months, year or so, was, you know, it was, yeah, exactly. It was tough. But as time went on, like, and this is also has to go with, like, people that are actively, like, rude or, like, just, like, just a sour grape, and they just like, God, what is that person?
Who started dating first?
I think it was her.
Of course. That's usually the way it goes. So I can imagine, I can only see Jealous Joe right now. I can imagine that was awesome.
Well, I mean, luckily enough, like, her now husband, my son's stepdad, like, that.
You guys go fishing together probably now?
No, we do not hang out together. No.
Hey guys, hey, I'm hitting the links. You coming up?
No. But he does have good dad jokes.
You guys have a handshake?
No handshake. No. Again, I just appreciate his dad jokes. But I mean, they met like a year after we broke up, and then they, you know, they have been together since. So I mean, he's all good. But
were you hating at first?
Oh, of course. You know,
yeah.
Who the hell's this guy?
Yeah, I don't want him around my son.
What the hell? Yeah. but gosh, I can't remember where I was going with that. Is that people that are just like rude and like actively like just crabby and a bad attitude. I feel like people are, like, they are choosing and actively putting energy towards that. Like, it is very easy to just be chill, nice, normal, you know, and not be a pissant. And I feel like people that are like that, they are expelling that extra energy to do that and actively choosing that. And after a while for us, it just kind of got like, why am I being like, what? No, I don't want to do that. I don't agree to that. It's just like, if you want to have them for a couple extra days because you guys are doing them, okay, fine, whatever. I'll make up the time. Like, hey, I'm going to go and do this. I want to bring Joey with me. Is that fine? She's like, yeah, okay, cool. When is he going to be back? Oh, I'll have him back, you know, Saturday at 9 o'clock. Okay, sounds good. Like, when you're both doing that, just makes life hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, well, yeah. So shout out to the co-parents doing it right, man. You know, it's about the kids. Don't make it about you, jerks.
Well, we didn't get to UNLV football there.
That was on purpose. So you filibustered. You filibustered that on purpose just to make sure that we wouldn't have to talk any Rebs football. But that's okay.
We even got someone that texted in.
Watch us shock the world. Yes,
someone texted in. Fellow Rebel listening, whole half hour breakdown of UNLV is what the audience is craving.
That's what I said. So I mean, so we're out here, man. No, it's not all. It's not just Ducks territory. You got some Rebs out here, too.
Well, all I know is during the commercial break, Rashad told me his UNLV backstory and how he gave up on the team and quit on the team when they needed him most.
Well,
that's
not accurate.
That's what I heard from that
that's
story.
Not accurate.
You told me the story, and that's what I took
Chose
from
the streets, man.
The streets of LV.
Couldn't no football field hold me.
The streets of, what is it, Bellagio.
No, which is, so we'll get into it, but
the Vegas is the MGM.
Listen, Vegas is the hood, man. Let's make no mistake about it. I know we think about Vegas Boulevard.
You walk two blocks off
listen,
the strip.
You get off that strip and things get real dicey over there. Then you get even further and then into North Las Vegas, into certain places. I'll tell you this quick story.
You go to the pawn shop?
My first job.
Oh, boy, you're getting screwed over.
Not my first job, but my first job working in youth. For those of you who listen to the show, you know I've been working with kids for now 21 years, you know, right? So right now, currently, I work for the school district. But my first actual job is working for the Boys and Girls Club. I work for the Andre Agassi Boys and Girls Club. Andre Agassi, huge from Las Vegas, built a community center and a Boys and Girls Club, all the stuff right there. And this was right in the middle of like the project of Vegas. Like, I didn't know it really existed until I pulled up and was like, what the hell is going on around here? And I saw all the stuff. And I remember my then manager telling me, don't park your car here longer than 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, something will have happened to your car. It might be gone. So do not park here. We've got an agreement with the neighborhood.
You come back and it's detailed and cleaned and washed.
Yeah, no, nothing like that. Come back and
if you want your car to be too nice, yeah, don't park it after 6 o'clock.
Yeah, come back and your doors, your windows, your tires, everything is missing, or the car itself
just the frame. Is missing.
No, they just leave the frame. They've cashed, hawked everything else and got money for it. Like, it's really, really the hood out there. There are certain places that aren't cool. Like,
industrious little guys out there.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, there are certain places. You know what I'm going to do, Joe? We're going to go to Vegas. I'm just going to drop you off in that area. And I'm going to, you know, give you a couple bucks for the bus. Uber, no anything.
That reminds me of that Chappelle Show skit, the Trading Spouses, when he takes the kid to the hood and just like drops him. Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it'll be. Joe, you'd panic. You'd panic in that neighborhood. Fine. No.
Listen, yeah, craps games, I would win.
Fine. I wouldn't be fine. Like, it's one of them things. Like, you're going to get there and be like, yeah.
I'd be the Drewski skit he posted the other day of the white guy from the hood. Did you see that?
Of course. I thought it was hilarious. I see people who didn't.
How dare he do white skin?
Oh, yeah, right?
Now, unbelievable.
Oh, now we have a problem with it, right? Crazy.
Let's take a break. Let's get to a new quarterback signing in the NFL. Dear God, why are we doing this again?
Here we go.
Get to that next. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan. Aaron Rodgers signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Aaron does it again.
I guess my question is just why? Why are we doing this? Why, Aaron, you don't need to do this. The Steelers, you don't need to do this. You guys ain't winning the Super Bowl. Like, we just saw what happened with him in the New York Jets, and that's when he had one of his favorite receivers of all time play. Who's their number one receiver right now? And I DK swear, Metcalf. Oh my gosh. It's DK. That's right. They did get DK.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. That's not a bad one. All right. You know what? Actually, I see this working out well.
Right?
Changed my mind. I don't know. I mean, we saw what happened with the Jets last year. Obviously, the Steelers are not the Jets. Two completely different organizations that are run very differently. One actually has success. The other doesn't. I don't see how this is going to be that much different from what happened with the Jets and what happened last year for the Steelers. Like, yeah, maybe they're able to propel themselves to a 9-8 season. Maybe even 10-7, but you are going up against Joe Burrow and the Bengals in that division. You are going up against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in that division. You're going to be battling now with the Browns for that third spot in the division. The Bengals, if their defense gets better, as it should, then they should rightfully be in that first or second spot in the division. But the Steelers, man, Father Time wins all battles. And Aaron Rodgers last year, while he had some moments, it just was not Aaron Rodgers of years past. It was not Aaron Rodgers throwing for 40 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. It was not MVP Aaron Rodgers. And I just feel like this is why I wonder with Aaron Rodgers, like, why? Like, just be done. Like, clearly you want to play football. I get it. Clearly, you want to have one last ride and go out on a high note because you didn't do that last year. So I do get it from that sense. But also, what is the ultimate goal of this relationship? Is it to win a Super Bowl? I mean, that's what every signee like this should be, right? Like, we are doing this because we believe Aaron Rodgers could propel us to a Super Bowl winning season. But does anybody really believe that? Anyone?
I don't know if they believe it because it's Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think they should doubt it. Not doubt it in the sense that it can happen. Like, I mean, I want us to be very clear. Let's talk about the bad first, right? Aaron Rodgers is going to come with a whole circus. We know that because he's Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks that we have ever seen play in the NFL. Regardless of how things have been going lately, that's what he is. He's won the MVP multiple times. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He checks all the boxes, right? we know he's a weirdo, you know, Aaron, and that's what he is. Just in his heart, the only person that really likes Aaron Rodgers is Pat McAfee. And I think the only reason he likes him is because he gets a soundbite every week from him. But outside of that, like, Aaron Rodgers is a weird dude. We know that. Here's the good, though. Last year, Aaron Rodgers was a top 10 quarterback. Say what you want to, but he was seventh in, like, yards. He was, like, seventh in touchdowns thrown. He was towards the bottom of the league as far as interceptions, as far as only throwing a few of them.
Well, he had touchdowns, I know he threw, like, four in the last game.
He still had a great year for a trash team, right? That's the one thing that we can say. And Brady has shown us the guys can play into their 40s and still be, man, really, really good. Maybe that was his one really good year in his 40s because his stats were great last year. This year, you're going to give him a team that has at least a top 10 defense against the pass. They're not great against the run, but, you know, I think they can be. And I think the Steelers have always kind of hung their hat on that. We'll see. They've got, in my opinion, humble opinion, the best coach in the NFL. I think Mike Tomlin shows you year after year with not having a lot of pieces a lot of the times and still making something out of nothing. So you have that there. You just got arguably the biggest, strongest wide receiver threat in the league in DK Metcalf that you can just throw it up to, and he's fast enough to make his own play. I think there are a lot of things that you can like about this move as a Steelers to the Steelers.
Well, yeah, you were about to go into the season with Mason Rudolph,
and there you go, that upgrade, right? Instantly, if you went from Mason Rudolph to Aaron Rodgers, that's an instant upgrade. Like, I can feel good about that. For
I think a lot of people would feel good about that.
That's what I'm saying. You feel good about that now to throw to DK Metcalf. It makes sense all of a sudden. I can work with that, and I know Mike Tomlin is going to go 9-8 easy. You know, he's been a 9-8 guy. If he's not going to go, you know, 10-17 or 11-6 or whatever, he's a 9-8 guy. If he can get, he has Aaron Rodgers, which I would say has to be at least worth at least two wins with that receiving core. Yeah, I can give them 10 wins on the season.
Let's take a look at this receiving core, because outside of DK, you're going to be relying on Robert Woods, who is probably what, like 34 at this point in the career. How many injuries? He's 33. And how many injuries has he had? I mean, I can't imagine you're not getting prime Robert Woods at this point.
Two, three.
Calvin Austin III, Scotty Miller. You still have Pat Freiermuth.
Tight
end. At running back, Jaylen Warren, which, forgive me if I don't even know who Jaylen Warren is. Running back from Oklahoma State. He's in year five. Caleb Johnson is another running back. He is the rookie out of Iowa who just had a great year for them.
Yeah, I can't believe they let Najee Harris go. That was stupid.
I don't know, man. And while the yards and touchdowns and all that look great, go and look at his QBR and his passer rating numbers. Because they're like, bottom third of the league last year.
No, I agree. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to dress Aaron Rodgers up as like the bell of the ball, but the truth is he is better than Mason Rudolph. That's number one. He does have a DK Metcalf here all of a sudden. Like, that's number two. And he does have a much better coach than Robert Saleh. And so I think you add some of those things together. And then for as bad as the Steelers were at running the ball, they were still just outside of the top 10 in rushing last year as a team. So, I mean, they're not far off. They did trade Najee Harris, which was I know that definitely, you know, is not ideal, you know, for them. However, they're still right outside the top 10 in rushing in the NFL. There are 32 teams there. So, I mean, there's still a lot that you can to be desired for this Pittsburgh team. And now you add an Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I think he's worth, and DK is worth, I think that's an extra two games right there. So you're talking about a team that won 9 games, winning 11 this year? That's feasible.
Did they go 10-7 last year? Because I know they just they were not bad, but they finished the season terribly.
150
last
bucks.
Year.
I know they so with that went 500 at least.
So at 10-7 with a terrible roster last year, you mean to tell me you add Aaron Rodgers, they can't win 12? Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf.
Yeah,
they can't win 12.
10-7 last year. They lost their last.
Their
over
under is at 8.5 right now.
But that's still a great season at 10 wins, you know, considering that without last year or years prior before that 17th game, they're in the playoffs. More than likely, they're in the playoffs with 10-6. But because now there's a 17th game, they're not. So it's one of those things, man. I do think that there is something to be kind of said or at least looked at in this team in Pittsburgh. I think they're probably going to be better than people expect. I don't think they're going to light the world on fire. They're not going to be the first in to get the number one seed, nothing like that. But I do think they could make some noise considering they already did with less.
I'm curious, because how I see this going is kind of like the end of Roethlisberger. It's like, yeah, he's better than what you could throw out there, a Mason Rudolph or whoever the hell.
I don't know.
Do you think he's better than acquiring Kirk Cousins? Would a Kirk Cousins, sans an Achilles, and the ability to maybe throw the ball down the field 20 yards and no longer? Like, what do you do at this point?
Because, I was going
to
say, I mean, this is, you know, Aaron Rodgers off of, you know, at least a almost 2 years removed from an Achilles as well.
Well, but he had I wouldn't say a great season last year.
He had a good season.
But yeah, statistically, in the middle of a crap year for the Jets, he still put up numbers.
With a coaching change, all type of stuff.
Like, and he puts them up in a cold weather city, which you got to remember, guys. Outdoors. New York, the Chicagos, the Pittsburghs of the world, they have to build a team differently. And if Aaron succeeds, I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to be an 11-win season, but it's intriguing.
And Aaron Rodgers' entire career has been in a cold weather city.
Exactly.
His entire career. So in a place like Pittsburgh, I think that'll be fine for him.
The last season for Roethlisberger, his Steelers went 9-7-1. So yeah,
they'll,
I mean, like that's maybe like the cap of what this team will do. And again, you guys talking about, oh, Aaron Rodgers
personally,
actually,
that's the floor.
To be fair,
Aaron Rodgers didn't have that bad of a season last year. The Jets went like 5-12.
But to be fair,
they were terrible.
At this point in their careers, towards the end of their season, Aaron Rodgers is much better than Roethlisberger was at this point.
Are you sure about
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely, yes, 100%. 100%.
Yeah,
Let's go look back at Ben Roethlisberger's last couple seasons. It was sad.
Without looking, if I had to see what the second to last and last season statistically were for Roethlisberger compared to like last season,
he basically
for
did
Aaron Rodgers.
Just about the same thing as last year.
Okay,
as Aaron Rodgers did. I mean, Rodgers threw for 38-97. 25 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. Excuse me, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. And then Roethlisberger went for 3,700 yards, so 100 yards less. He threw for 22 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
So serviceable, fits right into what Mike Tomlin can do.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like a 9-8 season.
I don't remember
it
being that good. I don't remember Roethlisberger's season being that last season being that good. But I think that's
the
kind
year
of
before
a...
that was 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
Do you just want the Steelers to go for it with a quarterback again, Joe? Is that kind of what you're saying? Like it was them that put themselves in this situation in the first place. So.
Oh, and I get also like them behind the scenes being like, we can't go into this season with Mason Rudolph as our quarterback, right?
Not again.
Like, they're like, yeah, Mason, great job at practice today. And they go back there like, that was rough. All right, we can't be doing this. To give ourselves at least a chance. All right, let's figure this out.
Like, we all knew Mike Tomlin was lying when he said he was comfortable with Mason under center.
If you're a Steelers fan and you don't feel at least better about what you have going into the season, then you're spoiled rotten. There's no way you don't feel at least better. It's not like they haven't been trying, right? You went out and got Justin Fields. You went out and tried to sign Russell Wilson. You went out. You're trying to find a guy until you can get that number one spot in the draft. You're trying to find a guy that's going to make it right. Like, and so I can't be mad at them for taking swings. They're going out there. They're trying to get big money guys to come in there and be the number one for them. It just hasn't worked yet.
All right, let's take a break. We had a big injury down in Eugene over the last couple of days. We get to that next here. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan. First, Jordan Schultz with Sports Center Update.
It's not too late to sleep like a baby. Mattress World.
Yeah, was Tom Peterson's a mattress store, or was that just furniture?
That was a furniture. That was whatever you needed.
And glorious, too.
That's whatever you needed, man.
Wake up!
You need furniture. You need
wake
a bed
up.
Frame. You need a haircut. You want a hot dog and some chips and a drink?
Actually, Tom Peterson tried his foray into electronics, and that's what unfortunately killed his
Tom,
first business.
Know your lane, Tom.
Well, and then
come
that's,
on.
That's why at first was always Tom Peterson's, and then after that whole
and
debacle, they had to add for the LLC and Glorious too.
Yeah, my family got a TV from Tom Peterson's. I used to see those Tom Peterson commercials when I was watching wrestling, and they would always kind of run then, so...
He was always this big sponsor of that.
Have some chips. Take a sip. Sit right down and have a clip. Yeah, so you can get a Tom. You can get a haircut. At
Tom Peterson. Tom Peterson hair. It was buzzes and flat tops is what he would
you can
do.
Get the Tom
right?
Peterson.
Yeah.
Oh, the Tom Peterson flat top.
Yeah.
I mean,
you should get that.
My dad used to rock that.
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I got one of those as a kid. It looked like crap. I'm like,
know,
am
man.
I a white
you
supremacist
like a cartoon
or a redneck?
Character. I could see it, man.
That'd be a good sports bet, you know, for our show or something like that. Like,
Loser, oh, that's a good one.
Loser has to come in with some compromising haircut.
Loser has to look like Detlef Shrimp.
Like Spike's dad from Little Giants.
Yeah, you remember Detlef Shrimp? He rocked the flat top. That was and Spike's pretty, yeah. Spike's dad.
Spike
too.
Don't care.
Spike, give me 10.
No, yeah, the Detlef was definitely, because Detlef rocked that in his entire career.
Yeah, starting. I mean, he got drafted by the Pacers like in like the 80s and rocked that until 2003 with the Blazers.
All right, boys, let's face the music. The Oregon Ducks, they're going to be down their number one wide receiver this year, more than likely, probably 100% likely. It was reported that Evan Stewart, knee injury in practice earlier this week, and he will be likely to miss the entire season. There were early reports that are torn patellar tendon. No bueno at all on that. Torn anything in the knee is not good, but I was even reading stuff that a torn patella way worse than an ACL. Rehab is more strenuous, more difficult. Even just, you know, playing.
It's a bigger ligament.
It's it's not good.
It's gonna take some time to get back if you're Stewart, man.
I don't know if y'all have suffered like injuries that pro athletes have, but like I've dislocated my patellar.
If my knee would have held up, would have gone pro, but you know, that's for another day.
Oh no, but like we've all like, hey, we've broken an arm. We've, you know, a lot of us out there have broken a bone. So when we see that, we identify. I saw this patellar just patellar injuries hurt. Mine was on the left side of my leg when
I
was
tear it?
No, just a dislocation. So I didn't even get the full pain, but let me tell you, Joe, just a dislocation was an 8 or 9 out of 10.
Yikes.
It was bad.
But isn't it a tendon? Can you dislocate
a tendon? There's a patellar, which is the kneecap, and that is what the patellar tendon is the tendon attached to the kneecap.
Yikes.
So it is, that whole, man, if anything happens out there on the outside, pop that baby back.
Hopefully Evan Stewart is, you know, that's a big blow. You know, you're going to be the number one, you know, especially after the departure of Tez Johnson, you know, you finally get your chance to step in and really take the reins as the guy, you know, and now this is where you are, you know, now you have to start from scratch and go back to the drawing board.
Well, and here's
try to figure out like how to not how to get back to full strength, but can you do that in time to really make an impact next season, the end of this season? Like, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I don't think he's going to be out for an extended period, but in that time they're going to get other guys. That's the thing about Oregon, like they're going to keep reloading, and once you come back, like, where are you in the depth chart? Because right now you're the one, but if somebody really performs while you're out, like, there's a good chance you fall to the two or potentially three, considering the number of athletes.
Well, and with
for Oregon,
his injuries too, I mean, he's had a few injuries over his career,
back to Texas A&M for sure.
But you know, Danny was saying this on Tuesday. He's like, your receiver room is completely unproven. I'm like, well, welcome to college football. You know, like, usually that's how it goes. Guys leave, and then the next guy that has to step up that maybe had 15, 20 catches the year before was a freshman that redshirted, has to now be a one or two or three. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Ducks, I mean, you lost Tez Johnson this year to the draft. I mean, Evan Stewart obviously is going to be injured and not with the team. I feel like I'm forgetting one other person, wide receiver core. I know that Pelham guy, Ryan Pelham, he transferred.
Are you talking about who's here, who's not? We've got DeCorian Moore, the five.
No, I know who's here. I was talking about who we let, because I feel like I'm just missing.
Trayshawn's gone.
Trayshawn
Holden.
Dallas Cowboy, Trayshawn Holden,
yes, sir.
Baby. That's right.
Get ready to
Won't
suck.
Be spitting on anybody in Dallas.
Whoa!
Did I say that out loud?
Whoa!
Whoops.
We also have former Ducks wide receiver coach Junior Adams as the wide receiver coach in Dallas. So buckle up, baby.
Here we go. Should be a good year in the Big D, eh?
You're damn right. Probably not. But yeah, as far as like guys that now have to step up, I mean, like Gary Bryant Jr., he is a senior, and he is definitely going to have to step up given the state of the room. Justice Lowe, local product, he is going to have to step up. But then you have a lot of young talent, DeCorian Moore, Jurion Dickey. Someone is going to have to be like, you know, this sucks. Evan's our guy, but this is my chance to show out. I'm going to get more reps. I'm going to get more opportunities. I was a highly ranked recruit, so I need to follow up, and I need to you know, show why I was recruited as high as I was.
I think the one person that really suffers the most from this is the guy that's taking over for Dylan Gabriel, and that's Dante Moore. Like, right,
Austin Novis.
Or Austin Novis. But right now, the way things are looking, is it's probably going to be Dante Moore. But you thought, you just watched your number one go down. Like, where do you go from there? Who's your security blanket that you're going to have to throw the ball to sometime? So I think that's the one person that's, I mean, of course, the receiver room, it sucks to see that guy go down, but everybody in there is licking their chops now, because now one of them is going to be promoted to the number one, right? One of them is going to be promoted to the X. And so, man, like, everybody is going to be competing for that top spot. But if you're Dante Moore, it's like, well, damn, like, that was our offense, as far as we know, right? At this point, like, that was the one person that rings bells with this offense, or at least one of the two people that really ring bells.
Well, the other good thing is, you know, Kenyon Sadiq, tight end. I mean, he really came on strong at the end of last year. Yeah. And you want to talk about a number one target, not so much a number one wide receiver. I mean, that's going to be
your security blanket.
That's who you got to be going to. Yeah.
Baby Brock Bowers needs to turn into Brock Bowers 2.0, basically.
And also, man, Justice Lowe, you know, he had some flashes of greatness, you know, last year. And so can he continue to play as well? So I think, obviously, it sucks to see your guy go down, but Tez Johnson went down for a few weeks last year, and it didn't seem like the Ducks really missed a beat at certain times. So
Kyler Casper, he's 6'6". Nobody's really talking about him. I'd be interested to see how many more touches he gets this year.
Red zone, just throw it up, man.
Big, tall guy.
I crushed it with him in NC Football 2025.
Oh, I know, because the next season, I don't know, Joe, how long you played into your dynasty, but the season following your first season, Kyler Casper is one of the Ducks' go-to receivers.
Casper, Jurrion Dickey.
Yes, Jurrion Dickey.
They were having huge
Justice
seasons.
Lowe. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they were going off. So, we also, you know, Malik Benson, transfer from Florida State, coming over.
A lot of Florida boys
as well. Yeah, man, it's going to take a collective uplifting of this unit. And then, you know, like, just offensively, skill player position outside of Sadiq, I mean, it is going to be a lot of guys where it's just like, who? Huh? I know we got the transfer at running back, Mekhi Hughes. He came from, was it Tulane? Yes, Tulane. Noah Winnington still on the team. Great option, obviously running the ball, but also catching the ball out of the backfield. Expect him to do some great things this year as long as he stays fully healthy. It's going to be a very interesting looking, new looking offense for the Oregon Ducks this year. There's going to be a lot of unproven parts. The one thing that you do have to fall back on is that Oregon has just recruited some dudes over the last few years. They've recruited very, very well. And some of the transfers that are coming in have had some success for other teams. I mean, I want to say Mekhi Hughes for Tulane, he ran for like 1,200, 1,300 yards last year for Tulane. So, again, it's going to be very interesting Ducks team next year offensively. But with this Evan Stewart news, that just puts even more emphasis on the receiving core and what they're going to have to do to get this team to where they want to be. And that's another Big Ten championship, a playoff berth, hopefully at least a playoff win and a national championship.
At this point, if you're the Ducks, I don't know if you really – I mean, conference championships are important, especially now that you're in the Big Ten. But we've seen you can lose the Big Ten championship and win the national championship. And I think that's
the Big Ten championship.
Or not even go, right? You know what I mean? And so, So maybe that's not the focus anymore. Maybe the focus for the Ducks is win as many games as possible to get to the playoff and win as many games as possible.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I look forward to every Duck season, but I'm trying to think back, man. You know, you knew what you had with some of your pieces last year coming into the season, and then you kind of knew what you had with Dylan Gabriel because of the success that you had. You knew what you had with Bo Nix the last couple of years. You knew what you had with Justin Herbert and those teams. This is going to be one of the biggest offensive question marks coming into a Duck season that I can remember in some time. Mm. I mean, really since who did Herbert jump in for his freshman year? Dakota Prukop, was that who it was?
Yes, yeah. He was the bridge after Vernon Adams that did not work.
Yeah, so that was 2016, I believe, that season. And either 16 or 17. Yeah. This is probably one of the biggest question mark offensive groups that we have had at Oregon since then. But again, the one thing you have to fall back on is you're not going off of Mark Helfrich recruiting. You're going off of Dan Lanning recruiting.
What recruiting? He left the cupboard freaking empty.
Yeah.
So again, if that gives you any hope, is that the skill, the talent is there. Can they all just put it together over the next few months in time for game one against Montana State? Or is it Montana? I think it's Montana State, the Bobcats.
Doesn't matter.
Hey, that's a good FCS school. Whichever Montana it is, they're both good.
Yeah.
Who plays them for the first game?
The Ducks.
CTC, cash that check, Montana or Montana State, whoever the hell you are.
Hey, we saw what happened last year with Idaho, okay?
Every team needs to play like an FCS team just to start the season.
Yeah, it's Montana State Bobcats. Thank you. I stand correct.
Everybody needs to play a team like that, a tune-up game. I think that needs to be the preseason game for every Division I team.
Well, you got Montana State first and then Oklahoma State right after that at home. Oklahoma State coming off of a putrid year, I will say, as far as Oklahoma State standards. I think they were like 3-9 last year. So
that's just by Oklahoma State standards, 3-9 is bad.
I mean,
yeah,
that's a bad season regardless of what standard you're using. But I don't know, maybe if you're like Kennesaw State.
We don't go for these three wins. We need at least four around here.
Yeah, if you're New Mexico or whatever, you're like, hey! 3-9, guys, not so bad. All right, let's wrap things up here on Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan, next. You be getting down on that hockey?
Ooh! My pants tight, baby.
That was aggressive. Yes.
That game one, game two, holy cats.
Double, back-to-back overtime games.
I saw game one. I was actually hosting trivia during game one and looked up and was like, oh, okay. Looks like this game's over. And looked back up and it was tied. I was like, holy hell, what happened?
Oh, yeah, Edmonton.
That was quick.
That's why you pull the goalie, baby.
That was quick.
Well, and then the overtime, 10 seconds away from expiring in game one before that win. I mean, that was nuts. And then a two-overtime finish in game two.
What is it? They pulled the goalie, Edmonton, and then the Florida got an icing, which put the puck right near the Florida goal, and wouldn't you know it?
Mm-mm.
Wouldn't you know it? He ended up, I forget who it was. I'm trying to remember the name. Do you still have me potted up by chance?
Oh, no, sorry.
It's all good. I just wanted to fire this off.
Shoot these scars!
There you go. Yeah. Back-to-back overtime games, though. Single OT, then double OT. We should get a triple OT. Wait, do they do? I think they go to shootout after that in the hockey. I don't think they just keep doing OTs.
Let me see here.
Yeah, we got to find
NHL
this out.
NHL OT.
I did watch Mighty Ducks yesterday. I don't know if
there you go.
The thing.
So during the regular season, games tied after three periods enter a five-minute three-on-three sudden death overtime period when the first team with the first team to score winning. If it remains tied, a shootout ensues. In the playoffs, overtime periods are 20 minutes long, played 5-on-5, and continue until a goal is scored. There are no shootouts in the playoffs, so you can have seven overtimes.
That's awesome.
Honestly, I like that more. Like for regular season, it's almost like the ghost runner for baseball. It's just like, listen, it's regular season, let's just get this over with. But playoffs, it's like, oh no, we're gonna keep playing until we get a winner here. We're gonna play this the way it should be, and that is full periods the entire time.
You like the regular season style, the 3-on-3 kind of mini shootout?
Again, it's just like let's get less players out here, more chances for a goal to be scored, and then if that doesn't happen, you know, let's get a shootout. Let's get this over with.
Yeah, but again, like you said, in the playoffs, you want all the smoke.
Play.
I need six overtimes if that's what you're gonna give me. Do it.
Yeah, I like that for playoffs much more. I think that there's part of me like with like soccer, they do this, you know, they have their extra time and then when extra time expires, they'll go to PKs. And there's part of me where I'm just kind of like,
it's anticlimactic. It's like, it's cool.
Well, there is like sort of this tension, but there's definitely like, so they were just running their asses off for the last 120 minutes fighting for all these goals. It could be 0-0, it could be 5-5, whatever. And it's going to come down to this? This is what's going to decide everything that just happened?
The great thing about overtime is it's more game. Like, the game was supposed to be over at this time. And guess what? If you're hockey, we're getting an extra 20 minutes. Or if you're the NBA, you're telling me you were giving us an extra 5 minutes of this game that's already going crazy. So, absolutely. Like, I love an overtime. That's the best part. So, yeah, I don't want to go to penalty kicks. Or it's like if the NFL decided, now we're just going to go by field goals. Like, guess what? You know, this after the second overtime, you know, we're going to put the ball on the 40 and we're just going to go to field goal kicks. And what? No.
It'd be like for NFL overtime, just goal line fades.
That's all it can be.
That's just like
everybody's going to go and run ghost.
Best of five. Yeah, exactly. One on one, wide receiver versus corner. That actually would be kind of fun.
That would be kind of dope.
I think, yeah, I don't know if one on ones would be tough because, like, it's just like, all right, we're just going to run a slant. But I think goal line fades is what you would have to do. Like, put the ball on the 3 yard line, and it has to be a goal line fade. You can't run a slant because it's just, that's too easy. That's basically cheating at it. But it can't be a curl. Just goal
line
fade.
Can I decide what receiver and which corner go out there to do it?
Yeah. That, okay. You know, that's kind of what they do in soccer, at least, choosing the five guys they want to kick and who goes first.
If
second,
we get after after four overtimes, three
overtimes. Hell, you can just keep your best corner out there the entire time, you know? Yeah. Just put him on an island and, yeah, try and score on me.
Let's go to that.
I would kind of be down for that, actually. I don't know if you're going to be down for going outside today.
What time's the game? Come on.
It's 5 o'clock.
No, probably not.
And you know what I didn't get to today? Those damn Beavers. The Beaver baseball.
6 p.m. today.
We sound shocked that the Beavers are doing well and on their way to
that
potentially
Friday
another
comeback.
Well,
dude.
I was going to say, quite frankly, they're lucky to be playing today because they were about to lose Friday, came back in the ninth inning, walked it off in the 10th, and then
much like the Pacers, this is who they are. You know what I mean? Like, they baseball is what the Beavers do. Yeah. Can't give them credit for basketball, football, anything else, but baseball, that's their lane.
I was at a local establishment Friday night when that walk-off happened, and the entire bar of 35 people plus, just everybody erupted. It was a crazy moment.
It's raucous for the Beavs
at the Ram.
Unbelievable. Well, yeah, they play tonight at 6 o'clock against Florida State. Do or die, they win, they advance to Omaha, they lose, they go home. We'll see if Oregon State can get it done against Florida State today. And then I believe they would play either Miami or Louisville. I think they have their second game today as well. So tune in to NBA Finals, Oregon State baseball, whichever is your jam. Rashad, thank you as always, my friend.
My man.
Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Hey, lead it off with Mariners baseball at 1 o'clock. How about that? You've got a full day of sports.
How'd that sweep taste?
Shut up. Love you guys. Love you all.
And thank you all for listening to us on this Sports Sunday. We will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.